Good morning. Okay, over in Psalms 133, it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I feel like we're in a good and pleasant place this morning. Isn't it beautiful to be in unity? I tell you, brothers and sisters, let us not take that for granted. Satan hates what God loves. Satan hates what God loves. And Satan wants to destroy the unity that we have in Christ Jesus here in this world. You know, shortly after me and my wife got married, I sat down and told her, I said, I want you to understand, Satan wants us to get a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Satan wants division for God's people. So we need to remember that and just remember how good and how pleasant it is to be together in unity and treasure that and do all that we can to keep that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to go over to Isaiah chapter 32. Please pray for us. I tell you, I don't feel like I've ever gone into the pulpit just without apprehension or without care, but since last night I've been very nervous, so please be praying for us that the Lord will calm those nerves and we'll be able to look into His beautiful Word and that the things that would be brought out would be building up to you, but most importantly, glorifying unto our God, and that be blessed with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Over in Isaiah chapter 32, it starts out and it says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." And I think we can look at that, and you as being gospel believers, you as being believers in Jesus Christ, if I told you that the Bible talked about a king reigning in righteousness, and I asked you who that was, I think most of y'all would say that has to be Jesus Christ. Amen? If I told you that there is a man as a hiding place for the little child of God, you would all agree that's Jesus Christ. If I started quizzing you and I said the Bible talks about a man as a great rock, who do you think that is? You would say that's Jesus Christ, right? If the Lord will bless us just for a little while this morning, I want to look. We're going to try to look at all two of these verses. I don't know if you can word it like that, but. And try to glean a little bit out of all of it. But what's on my mind, most importantly this morning, is how Jesus is our hiding place. And in two ways that He is our hiding place. The eternal way, the way that we're able to stand in the presence of the Lord in heaven one day, the way that we're able to bask in the Lord's glory is because in an eternal way, we are Jesus Christ is our hiding place. And then after we look at that, we'd like to look at how Jesus is our hiding place here in our everyday life and how we need to take advantage of that and how we need to run to that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. And we'll just start off at the 15th verse. I love what Moses says here. And this is Moses talking. He said unto him, "If thy presence go not up with me, carry us not up hence." I love that. Lord, if you're not going to be with us, we don't want to go. I'm going to tell you, whenever my name is called upon to preach, Lord, if you're not going to be there, I don't want to go. Brother Adam can go. Brother Mark can go. Brother David can go. I don't want to go. I mean, and that should be our lot in life. Lord, if you're not going to be with me, I don't want to go there. If it's a palace with $8 million, if you're not with me, I don't want to go there. Lord, if you're not with me in Georgia, I don't want to go there. If you're not with me in Texas, I don't want to go there. I want to tell you, we need to beg the Lord to guide us where we need to be in life and say, Lord, I don't want to be where you're not going to lead me. And then he says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us?" Oh, oh, why am I here this morning? Because the Lord goes with you. So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do the thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I love this. This is the words of Moses. And he said, I beseech thee, I beg thee. I'm going to tell you, I want this to be every child of God's prayer when we come into the house of the Lord. Every church member, whenever we come into the house of the Lord on Sunday, I want us to be praying this on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, that whenever we come into the house of the Lord, Lord, I beg thee, shew me thy glory. So I'm going to tell you, this is what this is all about. I don't want to be blessed so you can go out and say, man, that big boy sure can preach. I tell you, I want the Lord to bless me so you can see the glory of the Lord. So that whenever you're thirsting and hungering and you need to see God and you need to feel Him and you need to be reminded that He is real, that you can say, I seen Him at the house of the Lord. And I need to go back and see Him again. I'm going to tell you, I hope every time a little child of God visits an old Baptist church, whether it's their first time or it's their last time, that they're able to see the glory of the Lord. I tell you, I'm a pulpit police where I pastor at. I mean, I really am. Unless you've been exercising, you just ordained, I'm going to give you a little liberty, you know. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a history of feeding God's people, if you don't have a history of edifying and glory of edifying His flock and glorifying the Lord, I'm not going to put you up. And I'm not saying I'm not great, but I want little children of God. Oh, I want them to hear a blessed message from the Lord. I don't want to hear about man. I don't want to hear about politics. I want to hear about Jesus. And I want to see Him. I want to see Him come down. And I want to see the house lifted up. And I want us to be embraced in His glory. And Moses says, I beseech thee. Oh, can you imagine Moses, all the things that he's seen, and he still wanted to see more. I'm going to tell you, there's been times where I'd be preaching, and I literally would grab on to the pulpit because I thought I was going to float off into the air. I had to ground myself. I know I wasn't going to float anywhere, but that's how I felt. And I felt glorious things in the house, Lord. But I don't want them to stop. I want to keep on seeing them, don't you? He says, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. Please pray this every time you go to church. Lord, I beg thee with everything that I have. I know we don't deserve it, but please bless us to see some of thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Oh, that's glorious. He says, my face is so glorious and so righteous. If you've seen the fullness of my glory, you wouldn't be able to live. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't understand how glorious God is. We don't understand how righteous God is. And I wish people would understand more about how righteous God is. Because that's what the Lord is talking, that's what the Lord through Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 10. Because right here, he said, a man is so sinful, he cannot see my face and live. Well, let me go on a little bit and we'll get to Romans 10. But then he says this. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that you'll put yourself in a cleft of the rock. Thank you for catching that. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord said, the only way that all my goodness can pass by you, the only way that the fullness of my glory can pass by you, is if I put you in a rock. He's saying the only way that you can stand before me and all my beauty and all my goodness and all my righteousness be shown is you have to be hid. I'm going to tell you, before the foundation of the world, the Lord hid a people in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is called that spiritual rock over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is that rock. And the Lord took everyone that he loved out of the family of Adam and placed them in the mind of God, placed them in Christ Jesus. And we are hid in the rock. And one day, the reason that you and I are going to be able to be in glory with the Lord is because we are hid in that rock, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And how'd you get there? How'd you get there? The same way that Moses got there. I will put thee in the cliff of a rock. I'm going to tell you, the Lord put us there. And the reason he had to put us there is because we're so unrighteous, we couldn't do it ourselves. And the only way that anybody will ever be in heaven with the Lord is if they were chosen in Christ Jesus. I want more people to understand that. That's what Paul wanted people to understand. Over in Romans chapter 10, where he says, brethren, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The way I understand the Bible talking there, he's praying for the born again out of the children of Israel that have not believed on the name of Christ Jesus. And he says, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I know it's our human nature to pick on people who aren't like us, right? We do that. Fat people make fun of skinny folks. Skinny folks make fun of fat people. Northerners make fun of Southerners. Southerners make fun of Northerners. Texas makes fun of the United States. United States makes fun of Texas. I mean, that's just how it is. Brother, we need to watch how we do that. Because Paul didn't say, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that we might pick on them during every sermon. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want to tell you, anybody who is in the bondage of Arminianism, Calvinism, Marxism, I want them to be saved. Not saved to heaven. I want them to be saved from error to the truth. How much time do we spend praying for people that are in error? How much time do we spend praying, Lord, bless my mama, bless my daddy, bless my co-workers who are really believe that they got to do something to get their children. Bless them to be saved from thinking that burden is upon them, and bless them to have rest in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, these folks that Paul talks about in Romans 10, he says they have a zeal of God, meaning they've been born of the Spirit, meaning they're heaven born, heaven bought, heaven bound, right? But he says they are ignorant to the righteousness of God. And because they are ignorant to the righteousness of God, they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. And what that means is they don't understand how righteous God is. And they think that their lack of understanding of how righteous God is, they think that they can actually do something to establish or to make them own selves righteous, which is going to do two things. It's going to elevate the creature, and it's going to lower the creator. I don't want to do either one. I don't want to elevate me, and I don't want to lower the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, they don't understand that no man can see my face and live.
that we have to be in Christ Jesus. It has to be Christ, all of Christ or nothing.
You know, there's a lot of religious people, they'll say that Christ is the only way. Amen. But what they mean by that, you following Christ is the only way. You believing in Christ is the only way. I want to tell you, Christ is the only way. And God putting us in Christ, and Christ dying for us, and God putting Christ in us, and God sending Christ back to come get us is the only way. So here Moses is, and he says, Lord, I want to see thy glory. And the Lord says, you can't see my face and live. Someone put you in the cleft of the rock, and all my goodness is going to pass by you. And the same way that you, the same way that Moses was able to be in the presence of the goodness of God, is the same way that you and I are going to be in the presence of God Almighty one day, is because we are hid in our hiding place, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 32. Don't you wish everybody knew that? And you know, I was at work one day, and I was preaching to some folks at work, and I was preaching election and grace and predestination, and they were eating it up. And they looked at me, they said, oh, we see that. That's what the Bible says. And they said, we got one question for you. I said, all right, what's that? You know, I thought it was going to be, what time's church start, you know? You know what it was? How do we get elected? How do we get predestined? And I understand that. I understand where they were coming from, because their whole life, they have been taught the way that they know is because of something they did. And my trying to show grace to them, hoping the Lord would bless, I took away what they did. I put it all upon the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way to know. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. Is there something within you that makes you want to do better? Is there something within you that convicts you whenever you do the wrong thing? I'm going to tell you, that is the Holy Ghost witnessing to you that you're a child of God. Is there something within you that's teaching you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust? Is there something within you, even though you may not believe it perfectly, but there's something within you that gives you a hope of something better? I'm going to tell you, you're a child of God, because the grace of God has been brought to you. And he has brought salvation to you. So back to Isaiah 32. And a man, verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert, a covering, a shelter from the tempest, that means the storm, as rivers of water and a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. Now, I'm not from West Texas, and I've never lived in California, but Brother Philip Conley gave me a good analogy, and I hope it's true, about a great rock in a weary land. He said whenever they lived in California, and every summer they would come to West Texas to see his family, to see his mom and dad's family, and they would drive from California to West Texas, and I forget how many hours he said it was. He said, but it was hot, and it was miserable, and they had the windows down, and they listened to the same cassette tape all the way there and all the way back, and he said it was miserable. And he said, but they got on one stretch, and I don't know what state they were in, but you'd look way off, and there'd be this little rock on the horizon, and they'd go a little ways further, and then the little rock is a little bigger rock. They get a little closer, the little rock is now a medium-sized rock, And then when they finally get up to the rock, the little rock's a mountain. And he said, with the windows down, 100 and something degrees weather, they couldn't wait to get close to that great rock. You know why? Because it casted a shadow. The heat had just beat them down. And every time after that, they started seeing those little rocks on the horizon. They were like, Daddy, get closer. We need the shadow. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, they may have seen them afar off, but they didn't get to experience the shadow until they were close to it. And I'm going to tell you, the closer we get to the Lord, the sweeter He is, the greater He is, the more shadow He casts upon us. I was living in Indiana, and one March, I walked into Kroger's after work. It was like 11:30 at night, back when supermarkets were allowed to stay open past 11. But it was about 11:30 at night. I got off from work, and I walked into Kroger's, and it was like 67 degrees. And it was March in Indiana. And when I walked out of Kroger's, I walked under the little foyer, if you will, or the lobby, and I was about to walk out of Kroger's, and a cold front had came through while I was in there, and now it was like 27 degrees. And the little lady guarding the shopping carts, she says, oh, wait. It was raining, too. It was sleeting and raining. And she said, wait, and we'll get somebody to carry an umbrella and shade you. And, you know, I'm a big old boy. I'm like, I don't need that. You know, I carry my own groceries. I don't need somebody to wait on me. I said, thank you. And I just headed on out. I'm going to tell you, that first step I got out there, and that 27 degree weather hit me, and the sleet and the rain, it just took my breath away. And I was like, but I was too prideful to turn around and be like, you're right. So I run. Yes, I ran to my truck with my buggy. And I got to my truck and I opened up the back door and I just started slinging groceries in there. And I'm gonna tell you, I couldn't catch my breath. I mean, I'm a Southern boy, and I just got baptized in the cold. And you know what I needed? I needed a hiding place. So y'all know what I did? I jumped in the back of my truck. I'm not embellishing this. I'm not elaborating this. I jumped full body into the back of my truck, and the only thing that was hanging out was my feet. I'm going to tell you, nature had beat upon me so bad, I couldn't stand outside of my hiding place anymore. I had to dive in it. Have you ever been overwhelmed in this world? Has the storms of life ever beat upon you? I mean, has a loss of a loved one just taken you places that you didn't know you could go and torment? Has a loss of a fellowship with people? Has divisions in churches and arguments with people that you love, has it just caused you pain and hurt and anguish? If it has, I got good news for you, brothers and sisters. You have a hiding place. And His name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, but if He's over there, I can't enjoy the hiding place over here. I can't enjoy the hiding place if I'm watching rated R movies. You can try to justify it all you want to, but we are what we eat. Okay? Do you not feel to be on a higher level? I'm not talking about self-righteousness, but do you not feel to be skipping through heaven whenever you leave a meeting like this, when all that's been poured into your head is the songs of Zion and the preaching of the gospel, and you just feel to be on cloud nine? I'm on that because you've been taking in spiritual things and you're strengthened in the spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you are close to your hiding place. I'm going to tell you, over in Isaiah, over in Psalms 36 and 7 and Psalms 57, 1, it talks about getting under the wings of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you can't be under the wings of the Lord if we're not close to the Lord. And just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you're always close to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, quit watching the rated R movies. Quit listening to the things that glorify drunkenness and fornication. I know the tune is catchy. I like it too. But it does nothing for your spiritual man. Quit listening to dirty jokes. Quit feeding the fleshy man
and feed the spiritual man. And that's how we're able to gather under the wings of our Savior. And that's how we're able to feel to be hidden in our hiding place. Brothers and sisters, what we do in life has a really big effect on our peace and our joy and our comfort. It does.
Go me over to Luke 11 and I'll end. I wanted to get to 1 Corinthians 10, but we're not going to go there. By the way, I want you to understand, all the things that I just told you not to do, I like to do them. One of the biggest lies that a Christian can tell somebody is that sin ain't pleasurable. Sin is fun. But the Bible says pleasure for a season. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like me and chocolate cake. I mean, for the first euphoric taste, I love me some chocolate cake. But after that whole piece goes down, I start sweating. My bones start aching. I start swelling. My clothes don't fit right. But I'm going to tell you, that first bite was good. And I'll go without chocolate cake for a month. And then it deceives me. And it says, I won't hurt you this time, Danny. And I say, you won't? And he said, no, I won't hurt you. I just won't talk to you. And I say, you promise? He says, yeah. And I take him and I eat him. And he lied to me again. And that's how sin is. I'm like, I can get right up next to it. It ain't going to hurt me. And he's like, no, Danny, we love Jesus over here too. Come on. Come on. And I get over there. And then when I need comfort, I don't feel it. When I need peace, I don't feel it. When I need joy, I don't feel it. Why? Because I've been going towards the sin and not the comfort. I've been going towards the sin and not the King of Peace. I've been going towards the sin and not the one who is the source of my joy. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take that analogy of 500-pound Brother Danny diving into the back of his truck. And the next time you feel overwhelmed, the next time you feel like you just can't take another step, next time you feel like you just can't breathe, you bow your head and you pray to your Savior. Whenever you get home, you open your book. Whenever you are with your wife, you say, sing this song with me. I'm going to tell you, that's how we get close to the Lord. And that's how we get closer to our hiding place. Yeah. Go with me right here and we'll end. Get ready for that. Luke 11. The Lord just showed them a model of prayer. He just shows them how to pray, or a pattern of prayer, or a manner of prayer. Every which word will not make you shoot at me and say, I didn't say it right. That's the one you take, okay? I'll just say this. It's good to search for the truth and make sure people say things right. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to dishearten a preacher, let that preacher preach a message blessed with the Holy Ghost, and then you come up and tell him, you know, you said Peter said there is nothing that can separate us from love of God, and it's really Paul. And you're sitting there like, that's what you got? That's what you got? Are you trying to prove that you're better than me? Because you are. I would have told you that from the jump. So after he just told them the manner, the pattern, the way of prayer, he gives them this parable. I want you to understand that. He teaches them how to pray, and then he gives them this parable. And he said unto them, in the fifth verse, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Look, if you don't know what a word means in the Bible, look it up. Because sometimes I'll read words in the Bible that I don't know what they mean, and I'll invent their own definition. And for the longest, I thought importunity meant an improper opportunity. It made sense to me. That's not what it means. You know what it means? It means persistence. Because I never could understand. What does that mean? That because he came in an improper opportunity, so whenever we ask the Lord, we need to make sure that it's not a good time for him? I mean, what is this talking about? And I looked it up, and it means persistence. And what this is saying is, the man doesn't give him the food, the loaves, the bread, because he's his friend, but because he kept coming to him. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, sometimes whenever you come to your pastor and you say, I got this problem, what do I need to do? And they'll try to guide you with what the Bible says, but then ultimately they'll say, seek the Lord and pray to the Lord. And a lot of times we'll say, but I've been praying. Keep praying. Keep pressing. Keep seeking. Look what he says here. And I say unto you, after he just says, because of his importunity, because of his persistence, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And this doesn't mean if you want to win, if you want to be a Super Bowl caliber football player, ask, and that's going to be given to you. And it doesn't mean if you want the greatest position at your job, seek, you're going to find that. It doesn't mean if you knock on a mansion, that mansion's going to open to you. You got to get in context with what it's talking about here. Stay with me, because this is beautiful. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It shall be opened. If a son shall ask any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, and we are, by nature we're totally depraved, and even after we've been born again, we still got some depravity in us. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts. If you understand whenever your son asks for bread, don't give him a serpent. Don't give him a scorpion. Don't give him a stone. You're going to give him bread. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know what a little child of God needs more than anything in this world? We need the presence of the Lord. One day, I love Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not that seek him on Sunday. Not that seek him every once in a while. And y'all know what that reward is? It ain't $1 million. It ain't stuff. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's being in a situation like the apostles whenever they were beat for preaching the gospel. And they go out and they say, we thank you, Lord, that we were able to suffer for your namesakes. It's being like in the situation of Paul and Silas whenever they preached the gospel and they were beat. And they were thrown in the dungeon. And they were shackled together. They were able to say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They were able to sing praises unto God. I'm going to tell you, I want to get so close to the Lord that even if I'm in prison for serving him, I'm able to praise him for his glorious grace. I'm going to tell you what you and I need more in this life. Oh, it ain't CNN. It ain't the news. It ain't Fox. It ain't more manly wisdom. What we need is the presence of the Lord. We need our hiding place. Keep knocking, keep seeking, and keep asking, because that's how you come under the shadow of His wings. I love you and God bless you. Come ahead with that.
Amazing grace.